Welcome, my friend. You are listening to Read Clean YA with CJ, the podcast for teens and young adults who want to explore exciting worlds, deep themes, and epic stories without the objectionable content. I'm your host, award-winning young adult author CJ Malacy, and in this episode, I am thrilled to welcome my friend and fellow author, Millie Florence. Millie Florence's earliest memories are of lying under the covers at night, whispering stories to herself long after her parents had told her to go to sleep. She published her first book, Honey Butter, at age 13 and hasn't stopped since. She has gone on to publish The Bolter of Ashton Harper with Bandersnatch Books and Beyond Mulberry Glen, coming January 7th, 2025 with Waxwing Books. Millie lives in a picturesque blue house in the woods of southern Illinois. She loves adventure, good food, and just about all things yellow. Millie Florence, welcome to the show.
Hello, I am so delighted to be here.
I am so thrilled to have you. For our listeners to know, Millie and I met at a writer's conference about a year ago now, and she is such a sweetheart. We've gotten to connect again at another event recently, and I am so excited to talk with her today about her stories, specifically Beyond Mulberry Glen, which is her newest release coming January 2025. And Millie writes books that are more middle grade, but I thought she would be a great fit for this podcast because her heart for her stories, her excitement about great books is so evident when you talk to her. And I know I have some younger listeners and friends that listen to this podcast as well. So we wanted to give some books that they would enjoy too. So today, as I said, we're talking about Beyond Mulberry Glen. Could you share with us a little bit about what the story is about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Beyond Mulberry Glen is the story of 11-year-old Lydia Green, who lives in the magical realm of the Valleylands with her mismatched family of fairies and philosophers. Until one day, that is, when she hears about a mysterious force known as the Darkness that dwells within the forest Tenebrae. But not only does it dwell within the forest, lately it has begun to creep into Lydia's own mind. And that's where the story begins.
Oh, I love it so much. And I love how you share about it too. It's so exciting to just like hear the beginning of that story. And how did this idea for this book come about? Because it's a little bit different than some of the other books, it sounds like, that you've published so far.
Yeah. So actually, even though this book is coming out on January 7th, it's a republication.
Oh, neat.
Originally, yeah. So originally, I self-published Beyond Mulberry Glen when I was 15 years old. It was actually my second book, right after Honey Butter, which I published when I was 13. And in an exciting turn of events, a little over a year ago, I met my now publisher, Sarah McKenzie, in an elevator at a homeschool event.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a literal elevator pitch. And we got to talking from that. And long story short, a month later, she offered to republish the book because she loved it, which was a very, very cool experience. So to talk about kind of like how the idea for that book came about, I really have to go back to when I was 15, back maybe further than you'd expect for a book that's coming out
sure.
January 7th. And at that time, I had just come off of publishing my first book, Honey Butter, which I intentionally wrote to be very short, simple, it's contemporary. It was actually one of the only contemporary books I've ever written because I am a fantasy girl at heart. So I knew right after publishing Honey Butter, okay, the next book I write, I want it to be fantastical. I wanted to take place in a magical world. And I'd kind of had a few different images in my mind of like, I don't know, this is just kind of how my inspiration takes form. It's all, I'll kind of get specific images, specific scenes, specific characters in my head. And I'm not quite sure how they all connect yet, but I know that I want to use them somehow in a book. And one of those images that I had that I'd been kind of playing with was a girl eating breakfast, eating muffins in a tree.
Wow.
That was the first bit. And anyone, when you read Beyond Mulberry Glen, you'll discover that that is, it sort of becomes the opening chapter for Beyond Mulberry Glen and Lydia, the main character, as well. And then the other thing that inspired me for the book was just some thoughts and emotions that I'd been, you know, dealing with at the time, as I'm sure many young people deal with when they're 15 or around that age, which is just kind of that feeling of you're starting to grow up, you're starting to leave behind truly being a kid. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to grow up. And, you know, it can feel like a lot is changing in your life at that age. And that felt really scary to me. So that's kind of the theme that I ended up exploring through that book, because for me, writing is very much, I guess, a form of therapy.
Yes.
It's just kind of how I make sense of the world. So it was kind of, yeah, some fantastical images that I'd been playing with. And then that struggle, I guess, that I was dealing with at the time.
Wow. It's so fun to me to hear how the story idea comes about, because it is so different for each author. But it's fun when that initial image actually makes its way into the story, because I think so many times for me, the seed of a story starts in one place and then the story ends up somewhere totally different that, you know, it's not anywhere close to what we started with. But I love that the muffins in a tree, it's still in the beginning of the story here.
Well, so in the beginning of the story now, there are muffins and there are a tree, but not at the same time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But she does live in a tree.
Which is fun in and of itself.
Yes.
I mean, it's fantastical. Like you said, you had to have that fantastical element in there, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of whimsy in all of my books, but especially in Beyond Mulberry Glen.
Fun. I love it. So when you're talking about this book and someone asks you if there's other books or movies that might be like it, what would you say those would be?
I would point to the Studio Ghibli movies, first of all, if anyone has watched or is a fan of those. And I hadn't watched them at the time when I wrote the book, actually, but I went on to discover Studio Ghibli films like My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, Howl's Moving Castle, and I just loved them.
Yes.
And there's a lovely sense of magic and also childlike wonder in those movies that is very much not only what I love to watch and what I love to read, but what I love to write as well. So I think if you're a fan of Studio Ghibli films, especially like Castle in the Sky is maybe my all-time favorite Studio Ghibli film. And then books, The Girl Who Drank the Moon, if you're a fan of that one, that's another one I think has some similarities. And then also some classics like Anne of Green Gables, A Little Princess. Those are just books that were very influential for me and still are, but especially when I was younger and I was reading some of them for the first time. And they definitely held some bearing on my writing and how I wrote my books. And again, they still do.
Yes. So. Yes. Oh, those are fun comp titles. And I feel like it gives our listeners a sense of, okay, this is the type of story that I'm getting into. And I think sometimes it's easier almost to say movies because sometimes people haven't read like the classic books. You know, there are so many out there that it's hard sometimes to find one that is a great comp title. And I think sometimes movies are helpful in that way. So I'm glad you gave us both options to kind of pick from.
Yeah. Here. Well, and also I just think because film is such a different medium, it allows you to compare it, but not too much.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So you mentioned that the themes in your story kind of touched on where you were in that time of your life. So you were a 15-year-old and struggling with the idea of growing up. And what does it look like to go through that change and that coming of age experience for yourself and that ended up bleeding into your story. So can you like share a little bit more about that with us and like what you would want your readers to take away from the story as maybe they're struggling with that same idea of like, I'm not ready to grow up. I still want to be a kid, but I also see that life is changing and how do I wrestle through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a metaphor that I use throughout the book is plants, specifically trees and sunflowers, because Lydia Green, the main character, is an herbalist and she loves nature and everything to do with plants and flowers and herbs. And fun fact about sunflowers is they turn their heads, their flowers, throughout the day to continue to face the sun. And that's what allows them to grow, right, is the nutrients they can get from the sun. And there's a phrase in Beyond Mulberry Glen, grow towards the light, which is kind of at the heart of the book. And it's this idea, sunflowers constantly, it's a choice that they grow towards the light for any plant, but you can kind of see it visually throughout the day with sunflowers a bit more easily. It takes effort as a plant to continue to turn, to keep themselves facing toward the sun throughout the day, but they're so much healthier and more vibrant if they do. That's kind of something I explored just from the angle of taking it into life as a human, that growth is hard. But when you're growing in the right direction, it doesn't mean like leaving yourself behind. It's a choice to grow towards the light, to keep reaching for the sun, even though as trees grow taller towards the sun every year, they're never going to reach the sun. They're never going to touch the sky, but they will get closer to it.
Yeah.
And so to kind of continue to strive for those ideals, to continue to, you know, grow towards God in my faith as a Christian, to grow towards those ideals and towards the light, as I say in the book. And that is part of how I've approached it in the novel, is just, I feel like looking at things through metaphor can be very, very helpful.
Yes, I love metaphor and analogies and all of that, parables, all of those fun things, because I think it does give you a way to see the world differently. And your phrase that you use, grow towards the light, I love that. That is such a great reminder. And it's something that's simple to think on and remember too, just in life, because it's easy to get swallowed up in darkness, and change can feel dark, just depressing and dark and overwhelming. And I know that one of the themes in this book is that the darkness is starting to kind of get into Lydia's mind and her life, and it seems to be seeping into every area. So then to think of that contrast of growing toward the light, that's a powerful reality and something that we need in our lives, not just in a story, right? Like we need to, like you said, keep growing towards the light, keep looking to God in the midst of darkness, and recognize that though it might feel totally dark and black right now, even in our own thoughts and minds, when that darkness seems to consume us, that we can still reach for that light and grow toward it, and God can meet us there.
Yep.
And light can shine in the darkest of places. And I think that that's such a neat way that you took a character, gave her a love for plants and herbs and all of these things, so that you can then essentially teach your character and yourself, right, a lesson through your story of how a plant can be a great metaphor for something that we can do in our own lives. I love that theme and how God used it in your own life as you wrote this story to help you work through some of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big thing I was afraid of when I was 15 is that growing up means becoming a different person, and maybe not necessarily a person you want to be. So that was kind of something else I tried to explore, of like, you're always going to be you. And really growing up is just an extension of growing into yourself. You're not leaving your childhood, your old self behind. You're becoming more yourself. And yeah, that was a big thing, was also just like, you can approach life at your own pace, I guess. You don't have to go with someone else's timeline. Like, what is meant for you will come and at the right time. So yeah, just also that focus on like on timing, because Lydia Green, the main conflict is that she does not want to become apprenticed, that's the opening conflict of the book, because in this world, kids, when they turn around a certain age, they'll get a mentor. And that usually means, you know, moving away from home to study this. And she loves her life in Mulberry Glen. She loves her home. She loves her family. And she doesn't want to leave it. She doesn't want to leave that behind. I'm not going to spoil what happens. Go at your own pace, I think, is also a big part of the theme of the book.
Yes. And that's an important thing to remember, to go at the pace that God's putting in front of you too for your life, right? Because sometimes it's easy to look at another person's life and assume that you need to do exactly what they're doing and replicate their life. And that's not true. And God has a different plan for each and every one of us, and a different timeline and a different set of circumstances. And if I try to live my life according to what someone else is doing, I'm going to miss out on what God has for me. And then essentially, I'll lose myself in that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the things you mentioned is growing more into who we were made to be. And that can only happen as I am centered in who God has called me to be. If I try to be Millie, well, A, there's an age gap. It's going to be hard. And B, it's going to just be awkward. It's not going to work. I can't replicate your life. You can't replicate mine, because we're not supposed to, because God gave each of us a unique calling and a unique purpose for our lives. And it's as we grow toward the light, right? As we look to yep. him, that we find in him who he's made us to be, the good works he has planned for us to walk in. And it's individual and it's unique. And it does, as we walk in that timeline he has for us, we do become more and more who we were destined to be. And it's to better display the light of Jesus Christ ultimately through our lives and through our actions and what we create and what we do and how we work and all of it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's this great story from, I believe it's The Hiding Place, if you've read that one, mm-hmm. Where she, Corey Ten Boom, she talks about her father told her, because it was like a story from when she was younger and she was really scared or upset at the time and afraid of things she could face in the future. And he said, when we go on a train, when do I give you your ticket? And she says, well, right before we step on the train. And her father said, exactly. It's the same way in life with God. Right when you need the strength to go through something difficult, right when you need it, God will give it to you. God's timing is perfect. Mm. He'll give you the ticket right before you step on the train.
Mm. I love that. And this is a total me fangirling over Corrie Ten Boom moment, but I love her. She's fantastic. And I think you can still find some of her speeches on YouTube. If I find one, I'll add it to the show notes, because she's somebody that I listened to some of her speeches when she was alive still, and they were just so powerful. She went through so much, but had such a faith rooted in God. And I love that analogy of God gives you that ticket right before you board the train. And it's true. I think for me, especially as an author, it's easy to imagine, and I'm so good at worst case scenarios. I'm actually the best at
those.
This
is the dark side of imagination as an author, yeah.
It is. Can I imagine my entire family dying in a terrible car crash? Yes. Yes, I can. It is horrifying and it's terrible, and it will keep me up at night if I let it. I think one of the things the Lord has taught me in my life is that he's like, okay, I'm not going to give you the grace for something I'm not sending you through. So it's easy to get lost in these worst case scenario, what if places, and spiral downward in this dark place. But in reality, God's just not giving us the grace for it. We're not boarding that train, so we don't need the ticket. It's going somewhere else. It is not the one he has for us right now. So what we need to do is just be where he has us. And that has given me so much peace over the years, because I've realized that when I've gone through really hard things, God's given me the grace. When I imagine going through really hard things, God doesn't give me the grace.
It feels terrifying.
But I don't need it. Like, I'm not going through it. I'm just envisioning these awful things happening. I don't need that. So it's really just turning my mind to remembering, okay, I serve a God who does plan out and prepare my steps for me. And if I surrender to him and look to him for that leading, he will give it to me. I love that. I love that this is something that's even kind of touched on in your story.
Thank you. Yeah. It's very much at the heart of my story, honestly, because when it's on your mind, when you are writing the book, it finds a way to seep into it, as I'm sure you know.
Yes. I like to say that often the books with so much heart and depth are the ones that the writer bled into.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it costs something to walk there. I think especially as we create with God and we surrender to him in that process, he takes the hard things and he then shows us something beautiful he can make out of them, even through a story. And I'm sure when you think back to your 15-year-old self and imagine where you were mentally and emotionally at and that struggle and fight you were facing as you were coming of age, right? Getting older and growing up. It's not like the funnest experience to remember, but then how God then even took that difficulty and allowed you to write a story that can now encourage and touch other people's hearts.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a beautiful thing he did, right? Beauty from ashes.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's gone farther than I ever could have imagined with it being republished and everything. It's kind of crazy, honestly, to think about.
Yeah, it's wild. And that's what God loves to do. And I think that's the power of growing toward the light,
absolutely,
turning toward the light, and following what God has for us.
He
totally does, right? Like, he is the ultimate storyteller and author and creator. And when we let him take control of our stories, we will experience a life that does not look like another person's. And so therefore, we'll be criticized at times and questioned and misunderstood. But at the end of the day, it is the richest, fullest life you can live if you're following after God and letting him take you wherever he wants you to go.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I would love to share with our listeners a little bit more about you as the author. So we know you started writing young and you have been writing now for several years. You've written multiple books. But when you're not writing, what do you like to do?
Ooh,
If you're ever not writing from your bio, I know you're always thinking of a story.
I am always thinking of a story. Honestly, I spend more time pacing my room, listening to music, imagining fight scenes in my head than I do actually writing. I should probably write more. But when I'm doing neither of those things, I love cooking and baking. I love going on adventures. So like hiking, camping, traveling. The thing that me and my family love to do, and we've gotten quite good at, if we do say so ourselves, is escape rooms. We're very much into doing escape rooms as a family, because we have like the perfect number, because I have four younger siblings. So that means that there's seven of us, which is a good number for an escape room.
Yes.
But yeah, escape rooms. Oh, acting as well. I love acting. I've been in several theater productions throughout my life, and it's always been so much fun. You know, it's interesting. I feel like there's this overlap between acting and writing that I don't hear people talking about as much. Because when you're acting, you're embodying a character. You're bringing them to life, right? And not just within your own head, but like physically and with your voice and your actions and how you interpret the script. And in writing, you're also bringing characters to life. The difference is you're bringing multiple characters to life all at once.
Yes.
And I have been known to like act out scenes from my book as I'm writing them to try and figure out how they're gonna go.
My family teases
me for it all the time.
I'm sure. Four siblings, that'll do it. I love it. And acting's another type of creating in a lot of ways. It uses that creative muscle, and it's fun because you get to explore story in another form. Yeah. So that is really neat. And escape rooms are so fun. I've only ever done it, I think, twice in my life, but they're a blast. I always wanted to pretend to be like a spy or be a spy. I'm so unobservant. The spy thing would never have worked out for me, but I feel like escape rooms kind of give you that adventurous thrill of I have to get out of this place in this amount of time. And it's so much fun. And I love that you get to do it with your family. Seven is a great number for that kind of an event.
It's quite the team building exercise.
I can imagine. Yes.
Our youngest, she's 9 years old currently, and she's always the one who like finds the clues because she's a little shorter, so she can like see under things. It's a lot of fun.
That's so neat. Yeah. And it's fun because it is something like multiple ages can do together and still enjoy. So that's really neat. I love that. Now, you do all these different types of things. So you do acting and adventuring and escape rooms. And I imagine there's a lot of story fodder, shall we say, in all of that. So where is one of the most unique places you've ever been inspired with a story idea?
Okay, so this is a story I love to tell because I think it's a great example just in general of how writers find inspiration, which is one of my first years at homeschool prom. And yes, that does exist. It was in like the basement of a church, and on the edge of the dance floor, there was a door that had a plaque on it, which said library/elevator.
What? Yeah.
And I didn't get to go through the door because like I don't think we were allowed to. But I remember seeing that, and I ran and grabbed my phone and took a picture of it. I was like, that is so weird and cool. What does that mean? Is there a library is there an elevator that leads to a library? Is it a library that is also an elevator? Like it rises, but there's like bookshelves inside it or something.
Right.
What if it's like a magical elevator, and if you press a certain button, you go to the world inside a book or something?
Oh, yeah. Fun. Yes.
So I actually am using that idea, not quite in that capacity, but the library/elevator, I am using that for a book I am currently writing. That was a very unique place to find inspiration.
Yes, seriously. But I love that. How fun. Any kind of creative endeavor really can start to open your eyes to see the world in a unique way. And as an author, you do start to see different things as story ideas in random places. But I also think as a painter or actor or musician, I think as we open our eyes to the creative world around us that God has designed, we can start to be inspired in unique and incredible ways. And I think God delights to spark our imagination in funny places and with unique experiences.
Absolutely. I mean, acting has definitely inspired me a lot and made me think a lot more about like character actions right and how do characters physically express themselves. I do some English country dancing as well, and I have a book, The Balter of Ashton Harper, that was very much inspired by dancing because it's all about dancing. The main characters do ballroom dancing in that book. It's so cool to like cross different types of art and figure out what happens. And I think, you know, you hear about, what is it called? It's like cross training in sports or something where like an athlete specializes in one sport, but then they also play others to help them get better at their main sport. And I think that's something we should do as artists and as authors, honestly, because there's so much you can discover there, different ways of thinking and just, just expanding your mind and thinking about things in different ways. Like I've done scrapbooking as well. Or even just like being around people who are focused on different types of art. Like I have a friend who is a painter and an illustrator, and it's always so fun to have a conversation with her because we're both artists, but it's completely different kinds of art, right?
Right.
And to kind of see, you know, where do those processes just like in our thinking overlap and where does it differ? And yeah, I think it's fascinating.
I love it. Yes, it is so much fun. We have to move outside of our comfortable bubbles sometimes and experience different places and things. I love different cultures for that same idea, like being around people who are different than me because they grew up in a different environment, a different place, and it helps me see the world in a new way as I interact and spend time with them. And I think those types of experiences just make our lives richer and help us become people who can then encourage others in a deeper way as well. So yeah, I love it. All the different things that you do. It is so fun. I had no idea you had all these various other interests as well. We've talked a few times, but the acting has not come up yet. So that one is a fun tidbit of information.
Yeah, that's been a big part of my life, honestly.
Yes, yes. I love it. Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time for today. But before we go, can you let listeners know where they can connect with you and find your books?
Yes, absolutely. So I would point them in the direction of my website, millieflorence.com. And if you go on there, you can find links to pretty much everywhere that I am, but I am on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. If they want to follow me on any of those places, you can search Millie Florence Author and I should come up. And if you go to my website, you can actually download a free copy of my first book, Honey Butter, ebook and audiobook when you sign up for my email newsletter. So if you want to give one of my books a try for free, that is a great option.
Perfect. Yay. Thank you so much. And I will have a link to your website in the show notes. But Millie, thank you so much for being here today on Read Clean YA with CJ. It was so fun getting to chat with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this conversation with Millie Florence. Millie is such a sweetheart, and I loved getting to chat with her and hear more of her heart behind her stories. If you are looking for a fun, fantastical adventure, then I encourage you to check out her newest release, Beyond Mulberry Glen. Thank you so much for listening to Read Clean YA with CJ. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can discover exciting, clean, young adult books too.